I loved doing the films, and that's what matters.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, did you feel a connection to Chrysanthemum, like, as a person?
I felt so bad for her. Yeah. I felt really bad for her. But, yeah, I did feel, like, a connection with her and, like, her best friend and the whole story behind that. Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, for me, like, being Francis, it's, like, I'm technically the villain because I'm, like, tormenting you the whole time. But I feel like because I was Francis, I felt so precious about her. Yeah. I was like, no, Francis is in the right. Like, Chrysanthemum, yeah, like, freaking killed her. Right. And, like, I feel like, especially, like, once you have the outfit on and stuff, you're like, yeah,
yeah, Francis knows. I think, yeah, when we were doing our scenes together, I just felt really bad for Chrysanthemum because she thinks she killed her best friend. Which she did and she didn't. It's complicated.
Yeah, it wasn't on purpose.
Yeah. But I felt just, like, pity, and it made me feel sad for the character that I was playing.
Yeah. What did you think, Jonas, about Francis, like, as a villain? It's kind of like a complicated villain.
I don't necessarily think she was the villain.
Yeah.
What I think of her as the villain? She was a bit of a complicated villain. I think definitely it was a bit of a twisted image of Francis that Chrysanthemum had in her mind. And so really it was Chrysanthemum against herself, I guess.
Right.
But what I think of, I don't know. Honestly, it sounds bad that I don't know, but.
No, that's what's so good about Francis, though. I love her so much. Yeah. Is that she's like.
I do really like Francis as a character as well.
Yeah, because she just says it how it is. I'm like, yeah, like there's a scene where I'm yelling at Chrysanthemum, and I'm like, you should be dead, not me.
Yeah.
I think this is so hardcore.
She's definitely like, she's low-key best dressed character in the film too.
Definitely. Yeah.
But yeah, how did you guys do the, like, the costuming? Like, did you do it based on what you could find, or did you already have an idea that she'd be, like, wearing a wedding dress?
No, I don't know why, but I really like button-ups, so I wanted both the character. I want all the characters to wear button-ups in that film.
Yeah. But then you had the idea of putting, like, some kind of fancy dress on top, and then when we went to Value Village and we found this nice dress and I was like, this dress is amazing, Jonas, please, it's incredible, please let me please let me take photos in this dress, I need this dress. And then I tried it on with, like, the button up under it. It was so cool
because you can see the red button up through the wedding dress that's kind of see-through, and there's just pearls on top.
Yeah, it's really cool. And, like,
only till the end though, because all those scenes are black and white.
Yeah, well,
unfortunately.
But it is, like, because I was thinking of, like, posters and stuff, since I was, like, taking photos for the film and stuff. I was like, oh, this is going to look so good as a poster. It's going to be incredible, the texture of the dress, the whole thing. We need it. And then we got it.
And it was beautiful. Yeah. It worked out super well. Chrysanthemum was supposed to have more outfits, too. Well, we had a couple of randoms. We had some scrap outfits.
Well,
she's
not very put together anyway.
No, she wasn't. I just remember the one outfit with the blue shirt we found, and it was like it's kind of like misogynistic, like.
What?
Was it? You don't remember? It was like problem, and it's like wife yelling. Problem solved. It's the guy giving his wife money, and she stopped yelling at him. That was like one of the outfits from the film, and we scrapped it. I just thought it was really funny. But we didn't use it because it was just ugly. It was not a good outfit.
Yeah, misogyny is ugly.
Yeah, okay. It's just not in this season.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's, like, all the questions about the process, unless you guys have anything else you want to mention.
Oh, there's a bunch of things I scrapped in editing. There's actually a lot.
That's for the next segment, the retrospective.
Okay. But yes, okay, perfect. Okay.
Okay, enjoy whatever music Future Katie's about to play.
That was some party thanks to my buddy's beer and joint. Here's the keys, joint.
Yo, I'm not driving. I'm way too stoned. How are you feeling, beer?
Oh, since we had that talk, I'm not driving tonight at all.
What about you, Dave?
You only had a couple of drinks.
And only a couple of puffs.
I don't drink and drive. No way I'm getting behind the wheel when I smoked weed, too.
How are we getting home, then?
Come on, Dave. Take one for the team.
Don't let weed and alcohol influence your decision to drive.
Yeah, I need a ride.
A message from Mad Canada.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. That ad was a little reference to the film. When you watch it, you might... Actually, it's not even really explained, but there's a car crash in the before the film happens. But anyways, we're listening to my interview with Jonas and Adele about Frances Stein and the film that we all made together. You can find it on YouTube at Yoni Macaroni, Y-O-N-Y Macaroni. So we're just talking about the process. And now, honestly, yeah, we're just going to go straight into the final segment of the interview. Oh, but before that, I got to tell you about another awesome show you can listen to. There's so many great shows on CJSF, but one that I love is the Arts Magazine. You can figure out what you want to do this weekend. Listen at 8. But first, let's listen to the final segment of this interview.
It is January 31st, the eve of Frances Stein release.
Oh, interesting. That is the first segment. Let's try this.
Welcome back to the
segment. Hi.
Okay. This is segment 3 of the Frances Stein review. Right now, we just talked about the idea itself, then we talked about the filming process, and now we're going to talk about the retrospective. So first of all, what is your guys' favorite scenes? Jonas first.
Oh, me first?
I think we have
What?
I think we have the same favorite scene.
Probably.
Yeah.
My favorite scenes, definitely scene, I think, 6, and that's where Jean... They're jumping on the bed, and Jean, Chrysanthemum calls Jean, and the music's just blasting, and he's having a good time, and Chrysanthemum just messes up his good time by calling him.
Yeah,
like she like doesn't have anything specific to talk about at that point. She just like wants the support of her brother, right?
Mm-hmm. And that was my favorite scene because I just feel like it was very chaotic. It was definitely like very absurd. I felt like it was like I just loved the idea that he just didn't know what to do with the hookers.
Yeah, because he invites them as prostitutes, and they're jumping on the bed. And later on, like, isn't one of them like eating mac and cheese, like sitting on the laundry machine?
Yeah.
That's definitely like probably that also is my favorite scene because I feel like.
And anything with Jean in the hotel room where he has the prostitutes is my favorite. I think the look of it, the whole thing of it, the whole pacing, I love it.
And it really, I feel like his character was the most complicated. Well, maybe not the most complicated. His character wasn't that complicated. I just feel like the character felt the most straightforward to me, actually. That's the
maybe your opposite. Favorite character.
Jean was my favorite character. I did like Jean.
Yeah, Jean feels like the only like really human one. Where it's like, you know, because I think Chris and Frances are both like detached from reality.
Yeah, I think. Well, one of them's literally dead.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think he's the only character that you could probably actually be in real life and not be like, wow, this person is really, they really need help.
Yeah, if you met Chrysanthemum in real life, she would not be chill.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, the prostitute scene, well, what is it, scene 6? I don't want to call it the prostitute scene, that seems wrong, but it's definitely my favorite scenes. Also, my favorite poster that we did, like, I took the photos for that.
No, that was the scene after. That was the second
one. When they're all in the bed, yeah. But it's my favorite photo throughout the film. Obviously, since it's not my film, I did, like, all the promo shots, all the set shots and everything. It's my favorite thing I did. Throughout the film. No, sorry, not even my acting. It is my favorite thing I did. But I remember finishing editing it and I was like, oh, I hate it. And then a day later I was like, it might be the best photo I've ever taken in my life. And the whole like scenes, I watch it and it's so good. And the photo I took is so good. I think the whole concept is like, I just love it. Mm-hmm. The way the prostitutes look, everything about it.
So I think my favorite scene was the one where Jonas and Jake are like dressed up as the schoolboys.
Oh my god!
And so we filmed this at Barnett Marine Park, and it's the scene where like I don't even remember what we're talking about. Frances and Chris are talking to each other, and then like the schoolboys come out of like this ditch, pretty much like just like this hole in the ground, and it's just like really so weird and so dreamlike.
It's very
dreamlike. Out of all of them, it feels the most like disorienting and like you're in a dream.
It was really fun to film.
Because it's like, so I'm trying to talk to Chrysanthemum, and while that's happening, these two schoolboys come in front of me, and it's like I'm still talking, but they're still like talking over me, and they're like, oh, is she bothering you?
Yeah.
And it just feels so confusing, and we don't really like see a lot of Chrysanthemum because we forgot to film her angle, but I feel like it honestly looks so good.
No, it is. I remember like screaming at, because I think what it was is that you told me that Gene like doesn't want to be my brother, or he's like gone. And I was like screaming at you like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And it was really fun to scream at you while watching Jake like pretend to kick you. Yeah. And seeing how bad from my angle it looked horrible.
Yeah, no, it was really funny, like, yeah, pretending to get beat up, because yeah, Jake is like the sweetest little, yeah, little guy. And like he like accidentally kicked me at one point. And while it was filming, he whispered sorry to me. And I was like, yeah. But that was funny.
That was a good
It was scene. Really fun to pretend to be beat up too and like fall over.
Yeah.
I'm glad you really liked that scene. That was one of my least favorites when I was editing.
Oh wow.
It's in the trailer. Well, because he's like fake kicking. So well, it looks a little fake.
There's like a million things wrong with that scene when I started editing it. Just things, it was super hard to line everything up, and then we didn't have the reverse of Chrysanthemum, and I was like, I hate this scene, I'm gonna scrap this scene.
No, but it was fun. Personally, I like it as well.
Yeah. It worked out, and honestly, it's like one of my favorite dream sequences. Yeah. Now. I do really like it also. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think some of the best parts of the film are like when it's many people interacting together.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I agree.
That's like, I think that's like the basis of the story is like,
I mean, it's like the relationships with each other, right? That's like the most important thing.
Yeah.
At least in my perspective.
Yeah, and wait, Jonas, didn't you say, this might be, like, totally random, but, like, there's, like, this theme going on with, like, Gene was, like, trying to, like, escape something, too, or, like, he had this, like, guilt.
Maybe. It might have been an early take.
Okay, in the one of the 20 other.
Gene's idea, he was kind of just trying to escape Chrysanthemum. I mean, not really necessarily escape, but he just needed, like, a week away from her. Just because she's, like, a stressful person. She's got her leg issue, and
she's a lot.
He's got to take care of. And it's I don't know. He just needed a break, and
yeah, if she was my sister, I would need a break from her. She is a lot.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he did take a break, and it just didn't work out. So that's kind of, I guess, that's what he was running away from. But I don't know. Maybe there's another meaning I have.
No, I remember there being, like, a very deep meaning, but I forget it now. That's part of the beauty of working on a film
yeah,
for 2 years.
Yeah, literally.
And so, I was wondering later on, like, at what point did you decide to add the bunny character? Because I didn't even know that existed until I was watching the film.
Yeah, oh, that was, God, like, way after we were done filming, after we wrapped up.
There was a lot of, okay, so, actually, I don't think either of you guys were here on the second prostitute day with Amelie with the oatmeal,
yeah.
That whole scene wasn't in the script.
I really like that scene.
I wrote it on a piece of paper while
I was shooting. But I remember, I feel like I remember you telling me about it.
Maybe. There was another variation, and I realized it completely didn't work as we were shooting. I was like, oh my God. So I improvised the oatmeal thing and I felt like I was probably one of the most powerful.
It was really good.
Yeah, like, I'm eating oatmeal.
The whole, like,
that's tough. But
the whole idea that, like, the prostitutes are such small characters, but they're on the clock. They can't work. They can't eat while they're working. They're, like, secretly vaping when he can't see them. Like, I like that whole thing of them. Even though they're such small characters and you really don't know anything about them. You say they're boring?
No, I said they're very important.
Oh, I was like, okay, how dare you? What?
They were my favorite characters. Even, like, when they went into, I know I have the music blaring over them talking in the room, and I feel bad, but it also kind of adds to that scene. We had one shot or take where they came into the room, and they were, the two of them, because they're really good friends in real life,
yeah,
they just started rambling, going into this conversation about one of their clients or whatever.
Yeah.
And their dynamic as characters was so, like,
yeah,
well,
I remember when really we started filming, like, we filmed that scene a good amount of times. And I remember in the beginning, because it's my best friend and my twin sister. So I remember when we started filming, they were, like, goofy, but they were not goofy enough. And I remember just being, like, I remember telling him, like, literally just act like how we do in my living room. Mm. Actually just talk like how we talk, giggle like how we giggle, and just act like you're alone. And once they did that, it was so good.
You basically co-directed. Because, like, I don't even remember that. I just remember them doing the take. And
no,
I remember.
Like, oh, no. Because I remember you were holding the camera and I was like, again, do it again. Do it again. And then after it was like, guys, when we're like kikiing in our house and we're just like playing music really loud and we're just like messing around, just do that. And then we filmed that like twice and I was like,
it was beautiful. It was perfect. And I wish I included more of their dialogue in. Hopefully not offended by that, but it did. but I really liked that. So that was done on the spot. The bunny thing, right? I didn't even go back to that. Right, so the bunny, what happened with that is there was actually a character called Francis Stein, and the whole film was named after, because it was originally called Chrysanthemum, and then I changed it to Francis Stein when I introduced this character into the script. And so Francis Stein was supposed to be this sort of version of Chrysanthemum that was defiant, that was this reveal that Francis, this idea of Francis that Chrysanthemum has in her head in the dreams, is simply guilt and self-loathing, and sort of this like, so it was Francis is not real type of thing, and Francis Stein was I got inspired by the idea of Frankenstein. Everyone thinks that's the monster, but Frankenstein is not the monster. It's Frankenstein's the scientist who created the monster who has no name. It's just the, I think it's the, no, there's no name.
Yeah, there's like many different names, yeah. Like the creature.
Yeah.
And so Frankenstein isn't the monster. So I figured Frankenstein, she created Francis. And so we have this, the final scene of the film was supposed to be Jean goes, is there something wrong? Like, what's going on? And it cuts to this yellow room, and we reference whenever she looks into the toaster with her reflection or the mirror, it was supposed to cut to this yellow room, and it was supposed to be close-ups until it finally goes into a wide shot. So what the golden drape, like, backdrop, and the chrysanthemum is dressed, like, in these golden robes, and there's this, like, the story of this, I don't remember now, I remember it when I wrote it, but there's a story of, like, a queen or something, and she hated this one dude, and on her like 16th birthday or something, she got like her one wish. And so she's like, I want this dude's head on a platter.
Wow.
And so it comes on a platter, and you know, the that's like her gift. So in the script, it was that story. Instead, she opens it up and it's Francis as a little like baby.
Yeah.
Like crying.
In the script, it's like, mommy.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chrysanthemum spits on the baby and puts the tray away and then gets up and tries to escape the room. And that's the final, that was the
thing. Yeah. I remember we bought like the clothes and stuff. I started sewing like part of the outfit for what I was going to wear. And then it became the White Bunny.
It became the White Bunny. I'm sorry for the effort you put in.
No, it was not much effort.
But I just all of a sudden just like lost the idea for it. I was like, what? Like, this is gonna take too long. I don't know what's going on with it. And I have an idea. And the bunny is referenced in the end when Frances gives her final speech. And I was like, this has no relation to the story. What if it does have a relation? What if it all ties around? And so I created the rabbit, and I borrowed a typewriter from a guy, and I shot in my shed, and I essentially wanted the same idea where the rabbit's trying to escape. And I also didn't like that first dream as the opening shot. I felt like something needed to happen before that. There was the story didn't tie together. People couldn't understand what actually happened to Francis when I'd show people the first cut.
Yeah, because it was confusing.
I didn't explain it. I never explained it. It was confusing. So I was like, I need something that ties it together, and I need... And I don't know, I came up with the bunny. I think, I mean, there's so many rabbits. There's like, what is it, Gummo?
Donnie Darko. Like Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland. Like, there's so many absurd rabbits, so I guess I did kind of steal that, but.
No, it's like it's not a symbol. Stealing. It's like, it's like the dove is always a symbol of peace. That's not like stealing it. It's just
you replaced, like, Frankenstein with the White Bunny that goes down the whole journey, like.
Yeah. And so that's how I came up with the rabbit, and I wanted it to be this space inside Chrysanthemum's head, that and this like sort of secret that was trying to escape. Mm-hmm. And I think it tied the film together a lot better than Frances Stein would have ever.
Since we're talking about, like, this is what the part is this? Like,
in a retrospective.
Yeah. This is, like, we already filmed almost everything with the idea of Frances Stein.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bunny was replaced.
The bunny was replaced probably 2 months ago.
Yeah, it was so, like, last minute, but it was really good. It was a good replacement, like, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely, like you said, like, it feels like a story now.
Yeah.
I think it really I'm glad I came up with that. And that was, like, honestly one of the advantages of taking so long to make the film.
Yeah.
There's also one scene that was supposed to happen where Chrysanthemum sleeps outside, and it cuts to, like, this Frances Stein standing next to a clock, and we just never filmed that, and so she just goes outside and falls asleep, and that's just, like, a random shot in the movie.
She's like that, though.
Yeah.
She would do that.
Yeah, she's just crazy like that.
Yeah, she needs the fresh air.
She really did.
Yeah. So I think those are, like, the major questions about Frances Stein itself, unless you guys had anything else you want to talk about.
Are we done?
Well, I was thinking we could also talk about what, like, just moving forward to your next films. Like, what you've learned from this film and how you're approaching your new films.
Oh my god, I've learned so much. And I think, biggest takeaway is don't be ambitious when you start making a film. And the reason I made this film so big and so long and all spent so long on it is because my last big solid passion project I worked on was in grade 11, and I remember that felt very grand for me, that project, and so I remember thinking to myself, if I can do that, I can do something bigger.
Yeah, always want to one-up yourself.
I want to one-up
also
myself.
Also, shout out The Front. You can watch that on Movie Macaroni.
Yes. It's a little aged now, but...
No, I like it.
It's fancy.
Everyone it.
Thanks, God. I appreciate it. The Front, that was a good process, and that took a bit to make. That took, like, 4 months, maybe.
Like, yeah, a lot less than this one.
No, for sure. And so I had this idea, and that's what dragged on for so long, is constantly thinking, how can I make this bigger and better, and trying to think of the next genius thing. Instead of, I could have made, like, 20 films by this time, rather than this one film. And I'm glad I made it. I don't regret anything. I just think to tell myself... Not even to tell my younger self anything, just what I've learned. And so my next film will be definitely shorter, for sure.
Goal is 5 minutes.
Goal is 5 minutes, maybe even 10.
We'll see.
And I think with less locations, less runtime, and a shorter script, I can
and
get
a
bigger crew. Yeah. Well, then I can get a bigger crew on it, because I'll be less stressed about having this big crew that comes with me the whole time. Do, like, a 2-day shoot, and that's my plan for my next one. Okay. So I can get good sound and stuff, and actually have solid production quality, and people will like it, hopefully.
Can you give a teaser for what your next one's gonna be about?
Okay, so my next film is an interesting one, actually. It's a co-directed film. It's called Power of the Pen. And how it came to fruition was my friend Talon and I, I've wrote stuff for him before that he's directed, and I was drawing during a lecture. I was drawing this crazy drawing, Power of the Pen. It's this guy getting tortured by a pen dripping on him, and there's a bunch of scientists and stuff around him. There's these rich guys, and he's like, "We should make that." I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You know, we should make that into a film." And so we've been working on that since, and that will probably start filming mid February and be done in early April. I know that's a very ambitious thing to promise, but I'm co-directing.
Well, it's on record now, so.
It's on record.
Gotta do it.
He'll be here on April, in April for the interview, whether it's on or not.
Yeah.
If it's not, in your calendar.
Like 1 hour of shaming.
No, it will be done. And I can bring Talon on, too.
Yeah.
That'd be super fun. That's my next project. It's gonna be really crazy. It's probably gonna be 5 to 10 minutes. It's gonna be really short. It's gonna be really, there's gonna be a lot going on, but we're gonna have a really, actually, we're gonna have good cameras and good audio and all this good stuff, so it'll be fun. It's gonna be a fun film, and then after that, I have a lot of other projects, but we'll have to see which one I decide to make.
And you can find it on Jonas Films Instagram.
Oh yeah, I also have a film account on Instagram, Jonas Kamache. Should I spell it out?
You should spell it.
Yeah.
Okay, J-O-N-A-S. And then I think it's a I think it's a dot, period, and then KEMECSEY underscore film.
The film that we were talking about this whole time, Press the Sign, is going to be on, like, you can get the link there if you can't find it on Instagram, and you can see all the promo and the trailer and everything.
And the posters and the beauty.
Yeah.
And behind the scenes.
And behind the scenes, same. You can go for my photography account, which is adels.photography on Instagram, where you can see a bunch more of the background of the film and the poster photos without the actual poster part. And all the other stuff that I shot for it.
Either account you follow, you can probably find the other account through it.
Definitely.
Yeah. And don't forget, Adele's photography also does just like a bounty of beautiful things.
Yes, please check out Adele's photos.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us, Katie.
Thank you, Katie. Bye.
All right, this has been CJSF 90.1 FM, Katie's open mic. Go watch Francis Stein. That is like Francis, not Franken. And yeah, next up is Department Uno with some awesome music you can listen to. And yes, I'm going to leave you with Friction by Television. That's the first song in the film. Awesome song. And yeah. Okay, so go watch the film.